Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. What a beautiful reminder by the Webbs that Jesus is to be above all else. Above all else. The Bible speaks of him being the preeminent Christ. And he will not be less than who he is. And he is Lord. And he desires to be Lord of our lives. Well, I hope you'll pray for me as I am involved in revival meetings this last weekend of the month of March. March 28 to 30, I'm in Harrison, Ohio at the Church of the Nazarene. And then April 6 to 9, I'll be traveling to Niota, Tennessee to Beulah Chapel Church of the Nazarene. And then the week of Easter, April 16 to 20, closing on Easter Sunday morning, I'll be at the Elizabethton, Tennessee, First Church of the Nazarene, and then finish out the month going up to the state of Pennsylvania, the Wayside Community Church, and that is in Mercer, Pennsylvania, April 24 to 27. So I do covet your prayers as I travel, and I am involved in these revival services. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for your provision. Thank you that we can know what it is to know you at the deeper level. Not just add a little bit of Jesus to our lives, but you can be Lord and Master of our lives. And that's the purpose of this program, not only to introduce people to Jesus, but help people to understand that knowing him goes much deeper than a mere surface relationship or adding him to our already busy lives. I pray that you would speak to hearts through the remaining part of the sermon and through the music. And I pray that you'd continue to supply the need for the lights of spiritual guidance. You've been so faithful in regards to that. And we're grateful. And we thank you for those who do help support this radio program month after month. For these so many, many, many years we've been on the radio, and we're grateful. 58 years almost now, and we're grateful for that. I pray and ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Again, don't forget to write to us, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. And if you'd like a copy of the sermon, The Deeper Things of God, just mention it in your letter, and I'll be glad to send it out to you in CD format. May God bless you as you listen to the program today.
Show more. is more than you ever know.
He goes a step further and he said, I'm also praying that you might know what is the riches of the glory. But you sure, Brother Roman, I don't have many riches. He's not talking about tangible riches. He's not talking about things that you can buy with stocks and bonds and have real estate and monetary value. But oh, beloved, hear me this morning. If you've been to Calvary, if the Holy Ghost abides, if you're aware of his presence, you can sing, my Father's rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Rubies and diamonds, silver and gold, his coffers are full, his riches untold. I once was an outcast, a stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth, but I've been adopted. My name's written down, I'm an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. Tenor a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing. All glory to God, I'm a child of the King. Some of you heard me refer to this before, possibly in other meetings. I pastored a church in North Carolina for a number of years, and one morning revival had begun, and the poorest little woman in my church came up to the platform, and she said, Brother Loman, would you have dinner with me Tuesday? I thanked her for the invitation and told her I'd be happy to come. My choir situated as this is, and one of the better-to-do women of my church overheard that invitation, and she walked over to me, and rather sarcastically, she said, I just overheard your invitation for dinner Tuesday, and she said, you can't go to that home. I said, why? She said, now you know, Mr. Loman, that's the poorest home in this community. She doesn't have one modern convenience. She's not equipped and qualified to fix a meal for our pastor. If you're going to be in the community, we'll have someone else fix a meal for you. I said, well, she may not have much of this world's goods, and she may not have any modern conveniences, but I'll decide myself whether I'll go or not. She said, well, you can't go. I said, I'll still make that decision myself. And you know, I feel sorry for preachers that have to get permission. I really do. Tuesday, I knocked on that door. I didn't walk in on Brussels carpet. There wasn't any Venetian blinds or draw drapes on the windows. She didn't have a Duncan Fife sofa or an easy lounge chair. She didn't have any modern hi-fi or TV or radio for me to be entertained by while I waited. There was no modern periodicals in the book rack. Only book I saw was an old black Bible laying over on the table. It's about two-thirds worn out. Had one rocking chair covered with black leatherette covering. It was split across the middle. Finally, she called me to lunch and no, not in the dining room. She didn't have one, but in the kitchen. She had just a homemade wooden table covered with a piece of oilcloth. Didn't even have a napkin. And she set me down to a bowl of beans and a plate of cornbread and a glass of water. She said, Brother Loman, would you ask the blessing? I confess to you, friends, I did more than ask the blessing. I got blessed. Amen. When I got through praying, she was weeping. I said, Sister James, what's wrong? She said, Brother Loman, you're the only preacher that's ever been in my house. She said, I hesitated to invite you to come because I knew I didn't have much. She said, I don't have much of this world's goods, but she said, I'm so rich in him. He's so real. And oh, beloved, you may wonder, some of you precious senior citizens, how that Social Security check will last you from 1 month to the next. And how you're going to make ends meet and what's out there in the future. But oh, if you've got him, you know something about the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Blessed be God. Yes. Riches. Hallelujah. Yes. But then last of all, he talks about the exceeding greatness of his power. Praying that we might know something about the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Did you know I fear this morning that too many of us are fearful these days that we'll be identified with the crowd that claims to know more about his power than anybody else. And they've gone off, beloved, on the deep end and are emphasizing gifts more than they are fruits. And because of this, I fear that too many of us are losing sight of the power, the exceeding greatness of his power. Amen. That he wants to give to us. You remember what the master said to those in the upper room that day? He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I've tried in my time to understand this power. I've tried to comprehend it in some degree. I look at the golden hues of a midnight moon. I look at the furnace of the sun that's been set on fire. I look at the diamond jewels dancing in the Milky Way. I look around about me and I see the handiwork of God, and I get lost in the maze of his power. But I think I know a little something about it. A little something about it. You'll pardon a personal reference, and I'm through this morning, and I suppose some of you have heard me refer to this. But you see, I stand here this morning, this Friday morning, a living witness to his power. Many of you could testify likewise. You see, when he saved me, I didn't weigh but 127 pounds. I was born with a leaking valve in my heart. I had symptoms of tuberculosis, a hacking cough, destined to be dead in less than 5 years. From my very beginning, the doctors had warned my parents about me having too much exercise or being overly exerted. But when he saved me, sanctified me, called me to preach, I had only been through the 8th grade in school, already married, and I had to give up my job and go back to Bible school. My wife worked in the factory and paid the bills as far as the money'd go, and I had 2 little churches that paid me $20 a month. And when I graduated from the Bible school, the president asked me, would I like to conduct a tent meeting in a little community of Gibsonville, North Carolina? And I told him I'd appreciate the privilege. And I preached for a week in that meeting, and on Monday night of the 2nd week, I brought my message, and I collapsed on the platform. I never remembered them taking me out. When I came to in a friend's home, the doctor was by my bedside. And Dr. Little is still the family doctor in that community today. He'll verify what I'm saying to you. And he stayed with me the rest of the night, and I thought the end had come, but an ambulance back to the door the next morning, and they moved me to Wesley Long Hospital in Greensboro, North Carolina. And after my family doctor, Dr. Warwick, consulted with Dr. Little, Dr. Warwick came in and sat on the side of my bed. He said, Harold, do you want to know the truth? I said, yes, I do, Dr. Warwick. He said, your preaching days are over. You never preach anymore. He said, in fact, you'll be in this hospital room at least 90 days. He said, your nerves are shot. That doesn't help your heart condition and your breathing. He said, if you ever preach again, it'll be once a week the rest of your life. And you'll have to be careful then. That was Tuesday. Wednesday I was no better, Thursday no better, Friday no better. I couldn't stand the squeak of a door. I couldn't sleep. And after Dr. Warwick left on Friday morning, I pulled the light on. The nurse came. I said, nurse, hang out the no visitor sign. I don't want to see anybody. And I took hold of the bed sheeting and I slipped out of the bed and got on my knees. I said, Lord, you made this body of mine, and I'm resigned to your will. If you want me to stay on a hospital bed for 90 days and preach once a week the rest of my life, I'm resigned to your will. But I know if it's your will, you can heal me. I said, I just want whatever you want for my life. And may I deviate for a moment here, beloved? When you give up all right to yourself, that's the way you feel about it. Whatever he wants. I said, Lord, I'm supposed to start a revival Sunday morning at Randleman, North Carolina. And if you want me to start that meeting, you can touch me perfectly. I climbed back in bed and went to sleep and slept soundly since the Sunday night before. The doctors had told them not to wake me up for food, that rest would do me more good than food. I woke up, the sun was hiding its face behind the western hills, and I had a glass of milk for nourishment, went back to sleep. I don't know what time he came. I don't know how he came. When I woke up the next morning, I didn't feel like I was the same fella. My doctor came in. I said, "Dr. Warwick, are you in a hurry?" He said, "Why?" I said, "Something's happened to me, and I want you to examine me thoroughly." He immediately ordered a blood count. He took out his stethoscope and he listened to my heart and then my breathing, took my blood pressure and my pulse beat. He said, "Turn over, I want to listen to your breathing again." He listened again and then my heart, and checked my blood pressure again and my pulse beat again. He stayed with me nearly all Saturday morning. They brought the report back finally. He said, "Let me listen to your heart again." And he checked me over again. And I can see that doctor now as he looked out the window and the tears began to roll down across his face. I said, "Dr. Warwick, what's the matter?" And he turned around to me and just broke down and cried like a baby. He said, "I want to know what happened." I said, "Why?" Said, "This is the first time I've ever listened to your heart and it doesn't skip anymore." And he said, "The raspiness has gone out of your lungs. They're as clear as a bell." And he said, "Your blood pressure is normal. Your pulse beats regular." He said, "What happened?" I said, "Dr. Warwick, I wasn't getting any better. And I didn't think you'd mind. So when you left yesterday, I called in another doctor. His name was Jesus. And I said, I believe he's touched me." He said, "I know he has." He said, "Do you want to go home?" I said, "I sure do." I called my wife. I said, "Honey, it's a miracle. God's touched me." I said, "They're going to let me come home after dinner." They took me to Ranelman the next morning, and I had to sit down in the pulpit chair to bring my message at 11 o'clock. 35 years ago, this last June. And since that time, I've traveled in 28 states, Canada and Cuba, 1.25 miles in my automobile, an average preaching twice every day, including Monday, for the last 20 years. I've never, to my knowledge, had a recurrence of a skip in my heartbeat or a raspiness in my lungs or an upset nervous condition. You say, "Brother Lohman, why?" The exceeding greatness of his power. No, beloved, hear me. During these days of camp meeting, for Jesus' sake, don't be satisfied with anything less than the full possessiveness of his presence and his power in your life. So much territory to possess. So many things that we can have as ours if we'll just claim them. As we walk with him, and I've prayed before I came and since I've been here, Lord, help we preachers to preach so that folks will get so hungry for the best that heaven has, there won't have to be any pull.
Say that we love.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.